thank her sister for playing for us, and we most certainly don't take these things for granted. If we could open our Bibles to that passage that we read earlier from Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1 that we read earlier. And with God's word open before us, again let us bow briefly before the Lord, seeking his face, stilling our hearts in his presence, thanking him for his help already given in the praise and in song of what he has done, what he's accomplished, benefits that we enjoy as the people of God. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we continue on in thy presence, we thank thee for redemption accomplished, for redemption applied. We thank thee for our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask of thee even now that thou will empty me of self and of sin, that thou wilt cleanse me afresh in thy precious blood, that thou wilt fill me now full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I take he under text. Bless every head bowed here in thy presence, whether saint or sinner, that thou wilt speak to both, that thou wilt draw us graciously out after thyself, that thou wilt shut us in with thyself. We pray that you'll hide us behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. This we ask only because thou dost give us the desire to ask. Therefore, hear and answer prayer, according to the man at thy right hand. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it, and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. Verse 7 of the passage that we read earlier, of Ephesians chapter 1, is the text that we want to consider here with God's help and the time afforded to us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption. Well, redemption supposes captivity and slavery. It is the deliverance out of the slavery and the guilt of sin. You see, God's elect, by nature, are in bondage to sin, Satan and the law. Yet through the grace of Christ, they are redeemed from all iniquity. They are redeemed from all iniquity, ransomed out of the hands of him that is stronger than they, and are freed from the law, its bondage and condemnation, and from every other enemy. And this benefit, well, Christ is the author of, for he and he only was called to be the Redeemer of his people, that is, from all eternity. And he alone was sent in the fullness of time to procure redemption for them, to which he had every right, being their kinsman, and for which he was every way fit, being God as well as man, and which he has obtained by his obedience, sufferings, and death, and in whom it resides, and in its proper subject and author, who by imputation is made redemption for all his people, his chosen ones, not for angels. Not for angels, but men share in this redemption. And not all men, but elect men, such as are chosen in Christ, predestined to the adoption of children by him, and who are accepted in the Beloved. And this comes to them through the blood of Christ, which was freely shed on the cross and was a sufficient ransom or redemption price. It being not the same blood, it not being the same blood of, those who are redeemed, but the blood of an innocent person, and not of a mere man, but one who is truly and properly God, as well as man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, by means of the atonement which he has made, we obtain through his blood the forgiveness of sins, that is, of all sins, original and actual, past, present, and to come. And this is through the blood of Christ. And so we come as a way of a title, the Redeemer and Redemption. The Redeemer and Redemption. This is the blood of Christ. The blood of the incarnate God-man. The incorruptible incarnate God-man. His own blood. And not the blood of bulls and goats. And the same with that of the persons he redeems. But untainted with sin. You see, the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot of original or actual sin. Otherwise, it would not have been a sufficient redemption price for his people. And so the sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation, in that only a lamb without blemish and without spot is an acceptable sacrifice for sin. And so we have the Redeemer and redemption. Firstly, there is the source of redemption. The source of redemption in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, friend, it is by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the atonement made for sin, that Christ made on Calvary's cross. And therefore, the redemption of sinners flows from the atonement made by Jesus Christ. It is his blood, and his only, his precious blood, and his precious blood alone. Turn back to Leviticus. Leviticus, back in the Old Testament, the third book of the Pentateuch. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 17. 17, verse 11. A well-known verse of God's word. And we read the following. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar. to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. You see, therefore, it was appointed, that is, the sacrifice was appointed to make atonement with, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, the sinner deserved to die. The sinner deserved to die. And therefore, the sacrifice must die. The sacrifice must die. And just on that point, thus it was necessary. It was necessary for Christ to suffer, because God's holiness requires the punishment for sin, either upon the sinner in hell or on Christ in the sinner's place. And so God appointed the sprinkling. God appointed the sprinkling or pouring out of the blood of the sacrifice upon the altar to signify that the life of the sacrifice was given to God instead of the sinner's life, and as a ransom or counterprice for it. For as it says in Hebrews 9:22, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, without shedding of blood is no remission. Without shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And therefore this, and back in Leviticus 17:11, is in clear reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You see, this is clear reference to the Lord Jesus Christ upon the atoning sacrifice of himself. You see, the animal sacrifices could never take away sin. Could never take away sin. And so we're pointers forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, for as in Hebrews 10:4 it states, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And therefore, the legal sacrifice did not of themselves take away sin, so it was impossible that they should, for such blood shed can never take away sin, answer the penalty of the law, satisfy divine justice, or secure the honour of divine holiness. But what the blood of these creatures couldn't do, of what the blood of these creatures could not do, the blood of Christ has done and does. And therefore Christ made the atonement. Christ made the atonement by reason of his perfect obedience. His perfect obedience and the shedding of his precious blood. And because the atonement has been made, there is the redemption of sinners as a result, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And therefore Christ is the source of redemption. His blood, the blood of Christ. Because there has only been one man qualified, and one man only, qualified to make atonement, and that one man is the God-man. This was the whole reason of his coming. This was the whole reason on him taking a flesh like ours, yet without sin, in order to save men, the likes of you and me. And so that one man is the God-man. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ alone that makes atonement for the soul, because the blood of Christ is the blood of the incorruptible, incarnate God-man, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Therefore, as our catechism puts it, and rightly puts it, the only redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was, and continueth to be, God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And you see, this is what the reformers upheld. This is what the reformers preached. They preached Christ and him crucified. And so there is the price of redemption. The price of redemption. You see, Christ paid the price. Christ paid the price required by giving his life. And because redemption is secured, well, it's secured at the price of the life of Christ. Secured at the price of the life of Christ, and so such was the price. There was a price paid, the price which sin had incurred, the price by which sin's debt is paid. For ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so it wasn't with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, being ransomed by a price from the bondage of the law, sin, and Satan in the world. And therefore Christ's blood is strictly a ransom paid to God's justice. You see, it must satisfy God. And so the atonement was Godward, first and foremost. And so, Christ's blood is strictly a ransom paid to God's justice by the love of God in Christ for our redemption. For our redemption. Ye are bought with a price. With a price. Purchased for God. Purchased for God by the blood of his Son. By the blood of his Son. Wasn't by a sum of money. Rome teaches that. The Bible doesn't. The Bible doesn't. Psalm 49. It speaks in verse 6 and 8. Again, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but if you will, you can. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and ceaseth forever. And so Rome has taught for many years, and still to this day, the doctrine of purgatory, that man can be redeemed by silver and gold. And friend, there is, if ever there was a first to teach the contrary of their doctrine, there it is. For none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. And so it's totally contrary to Scripture. It's not by money. And so the only price of the redemption of the soul is the precious blood of Christ. His life. His life is the ransom price. That is Christ himself. And neither is the redemption of the soul possible upon any other ground. Christ himself has purchased eternal redemption for his people. You know, Christ never did anything. He never did anything without his people in view. It was for their benefit, on their behalf. And so it is the deliverance of God's elect, a chosen generation, out of the slavery and the guilt of sin into a state of salvation by the means and merit of the ransom paid by Christ on our behalf. And so the deliverance has been purchased and is now the possession of all true believers. And therefore, child of God, we ought to rejoice in what we have in and through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. For as much as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, for as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is the only price of man's redemption, of man's redemption through his blood. And therefore we, as the people of God, we ought to stand in awe. We ought to stand in awe at being the recipients, the beneficiaries of something that cost the very life of Christ. We ought to stand in awe at being the recipients, the beneficiaries of something that cost the very life of Christ, the very life of the Son of God. Thirdly, well, there is the result of redemption. The result of redemption. You see, God's redemption, it deals with the problem of our sins. The atonement satisfied a holy God. The atonement satisfied a holy God, and therefore, as I stated earlier, the sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation, in that only a lamb without blemish and without spot is an acceptable sacrifice for sin. And therefore, to reject the impeccability of Christ, now, that's a big word, but then we'll break it down. Christ was impeccable, able not to sin, not able to sin. And therefore to reject the impeccability of Christ is to reject, or rather to undermine, the efficacy or the power of his atoning blood. Because the Redeemer is sinless, and he is sinless because he is virgin born, and only the blood of incarnate deity, the blood of an innocent person, can propitiate or appease the wrath of God, satisfy divine justice, remove the guilt of our sin, and reconcile us to God. And therefore, because of the satisfaction of God's justice, there is deliverance from sin, there is redemption, there is freedom from sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so here we see that forgiveness of sins comes to us entirely through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And therefore, if we go to Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes especially upon the atoning sacrifice of Christ, we have pardon by virtue of his blood. We have pardon on his account. And so by Christ's atonement, men are given release. They are set free. Set free because the price is paid by the subject to the object. As it states in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. A people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And so he died as a sacrifice, and by parting with his life, rescued ours. Rescued ours. And so once the sinner has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, he is freed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the bondage of Satan. And so we obtain the forgiveness of sins through his blood and through the atonement he has made. It's true, we're not only to suppose that this is all the benefit that we receive from his death, or that it is all that constitutes redemption. It is perhaps the most important thing, but we also obtain the hope of heaven. The hope of heaven, the influences of God's Holy Spirit, grace to guide us and to support us under every trial, whether merciful providences, afflicting providences. We understand that every providence is for our good and for the good of those that love Christ. Whether it be an afflicting providence or a merciful providence, God's never going to do anything for our bad. It's always for our good. Well, we may not understand it at that moment in time, but you can be sure, as God's word says, all things, not some things, all things work together for good to them that love Christ, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. And so we have grace to guide us and to support us under any trial, peace in death, and many more benefits. Still, forgiveness is so prominent and important that the apostle, well, he's mentioned that as if it were all, the forgiveness of sins. You see, this remission, being the explanation of redemption, includes not only deliverance from sin's penalty, but from its pollution and enslaving power, and the reconciliation of an offended God, and a satisfaction unto a just God. You know, We often hear that cliche, we need to get back to the cross. It's a true cliche all the same. It's at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It's at the cross where true Christianity begins. As in Pilgrim's Progress, it was Christian. Well, he had the title Christian, didn't he? But it was really there at the place of deliverance where sin was dealt with. Perhaps there's one here outside of Christ. And yeah, you can say, well, this message has meant nothing to me. Because you're not in Christ. You can't say, like the believer in whom. Because you're not in him. And therefore we say to you, flee from wrath to come. Flee to the Christ of God. Escape for thy life. And so, finally, there is the basis of redemption. The basis of redemption. According to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. His grace. Unmerited favour. Undeserving, for God of his rich grace found the ransom price and gave his Son, as well as he gave himself, his life, a ransom for many. And so that's the basis upon which any sinner experiences redemption from sin. Grace. Love. Exercise towards the undeserving, the unworthy, the free, undeserved goodness and favour of God, the grace of God. You see, God would have been just to pass us all by and leave us to our own self-determined sinfulness. And leave us to a Christless eternity. But he hasn't. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so you see, every converted sinner, every converted sinner is simply a saved sinner. Such are delivered from sin and wrath. They are brought into a state of salvation and have a right given them by grace to eternal happiness. Grace that saves them is the free, undeserved goodness and favour of God. For he saves them through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And therefore, as I stated earlier, and it does well to echo, we as the people of God, we ought to stand in awe at something, at being the beneficiaries, the recipients of something that cost the very life of the Son of God. You who are outside of Jesus Christ, repent and believe the gospel. Forsake your sins in order that you receive the remission for them. Repent and believe the gospel, because the gospel is Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let us bow together reverently, quietly before the Lord.